Welcome to Set for Life with Pastor Ray Jensen. You can find us at setforliferadio.com. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's listen from God's Word, verse by verse, on how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord Messiah Jesus, who died on the cross, so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. You'll be set for life with your treasures stored up in heaven when you're through. You'll be set for life.
You'll be okay, Genesis 7, have you ever missed the boat? I mean, missed the, like, you could have made it and you should have, but you didn't. I remember when I was a kid in grade school, I wanted to play football. I'm talking, man, I wasn't even at a probably third grade yet. I wanted to play Little League football, and I was watching it on TV, and the Sports Illustrated used to have those 2 minute long commercials. Remember those? You were waiting for them to be over, but they had one on football. And these guys were smacking each other. And I was like, man, I was excited. I wanted to get into that and tear some people up. So I ran to the coach in physical education class. And I said, hey, I want to get on football. He goes, you missed it. You missed the boat. And I was devastated. I remember I was upset like for a week that I missed football because I missed the boat. Well, I'm going to be talking to you about a boat today that you don't want to miss. And it's not just Noah's boat that he built, not just the ark. It's the boat of repentance. It's the Jesus boat. And you want to get on this boat, okay? You do not want to miss that. Genesis 7, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. I love it how the Lord says, come. Come into the ark. The Lord is giving him permission. You get to come, okay? As bad a sinner as I am, as many terrible things as I have done in my life, the fact that Jesus would still look at me and say, come? I'm like, well, wait a minute, I messed up. You don't, Lord, you know the bad things I've done. But he still says, come? Wow, I just love it when he says, come into the ark. You get to come in. This is the Lord's own invitation. He's saying, you have my permission to come in. And I'm thankful that the Lord looks at me like that and says, you have permission to come in through Jesus Christ. But he says that here, you can come into the ark. Now, imagine for a minute, I'm just Ray thinking here. This is a Rayism I'm going to give you. Imagine if the Lord had said, okay, I want you to build an ark for the animals, but you don't get to come in. This is for the animals to come in. You sinned, Noah, and I've sinned too. I don't want anybody to have any illusions here today. I'm a sinner. Bad. Noah sinned, all his family. There's nobody that hasn't. The Bible says we've all sinned. But what if he said, look, you blew it. You had your shot, you blew it. So build an ark, put the animals on it, and I'm going to shut them in and you're going to drown and goodbye. I just want you to think about that for a minute. But he says, no, you get to come in. The Lord made sure that Noah understood clearly. He and his family had God's permission to go into the ark. Friends, I want you to be sure today, if you hear nothing else, that you be sure you understand that no matter how bad of things you've done in your life, you have the Lord God's permission to enter into his presence, that the way in that he has given you. And that's going to be Jesus. We'll be talking about him. But you've got his permission. He's actually asking for you to come. Okay? But the basis here for their entry into the ark was the fact that it says they were righteous. Okay, now I've already said that we've all sinned and there's no one righteous. Not one of us has our own righteousness at all. So I got to thinking, how did he say that Noah was righteous if the Bible says there's nobody who is righteous? What's this based on? Well, what this means is that they had displayed a long-running track record of following and obeying the Lord's commands. When your commander tells you to do something and you don't do it, you're in trouble. If your commander is, those of you who may have been military or whatever, and he tells you, your superior says, I want you to do this, and you tell him no, and I'm going to go do my own thing, buddy, you're in for it, okay? So when the Lord told them to do something, they did it, and they proved it over a long period of time. And one of the greatest bits of evidence that I have for this, that is that they were accustomed to obeying God, is in the mere fact that they built the ark. What if I told you to build an ark? Could you do it in a day, 30 days, a year? No. How long did it take them to build the ark? Because this thing wasn't built overnight. I want to show you how long it took to build the ark. I want you to look at a couple of verses here. It says Genesis in 5:32 says Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's when they started hearing about building the ark. But then when you hear in Genesis 7 verse 6, like we read, we're going to read, it says Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. Okay, what this means is that somewhere between Genesis 5 and 7, that's only two little bitty chapters for us, but that was 100 years between those two chapters there. Between Genesis 5 and 7, Noah aged from 500 years old to 600 years old, which means it took them 100 years to build the ark. Has God ever told you to do anything that you obeyed to the letter and kept it for 100 years? There's not even any one of us that old yet. This is obedience here, guys. Now, I know somebody might be thinking, how in the world did anybody live to be 500 years old? There used to be a layer of water in the sky, an atmospheric layer of water that blocked a lot of rays. It kept the oxygen layer much higher. The oxygen level was a lot higher in the atmosphere, and it produced a lot of crops better. It made people live longer, plus the fact that God blessed Noah to do it. They lived a long time before this layer of water came down to cause the flood. So yes, he was 500 years old, but it took about 100 years to build the ark. And some people say that it took even longer than 100 years based on Genesis 6 and 3. God was so fed up with sin on the earth that the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. That was God's warning. He said, "Mankind, you've got 120 years to get right with me because I'm sending a flood to destroy everything. You've got 120 years to get right with me." That's more than fair, guys. For the Lord God to give us 120 years, you got plenty of time to get right. So everyone had 120 years to get right with God. And yet after a long 120 years, only Noah and his family were found righteous. Isn't that sad? Of all the people that there were back then, there was a huge population back then. Don't think it was small. We're not the only big population that's ever been. Back then, there was a lot of people. 120 years. They all had notice. They were given plenty of more than fair time. God's very patient. Only Noah and his family were found to be righteous enough to enter the ark because of their track record of obedience. You know, it takes a really special group of people to put in so much hard work, so much dedication for over 100 years like this. These guys did it for 100 and they kept going. What drove them? They obeyed the Lord. So look at the long-running track record they had proven in front of the Lord that they were indeed the Lord's followers, and so they were given permission to enter in. Now, something else I want to think about, just when I study, I like to imagine things like, what if I was there building with them? Can you imagine all the ridicule they must have gotten for building that ark? You're building a ship in the middle of the land. There's no boat ramp nearby. I don't see a trailer on the thing. What in the world are you doing? You're going to float this thing in water? Yeah, right? Okay. People would have asked Noah, "God told you to build what? An ark." You know what the word ark sounded like to them back then? It sounded like this. It sounded like blah, blah, blah. It means nothing. I want you to build a blah, blah, blah. And I got that from my youth minister a long time ago. I remember him doing this specifically. I want you to build a blah, blah, blah. Well, what in the world is a blah, blah, blah? So you want us to build this thing. You see, they hadn't heard of an ark. And even then, to build an ark, something intended to float on water, to build it on dry land, I'm sure people thought that Noah and his family were absolutely nuts. You're an idiot. What are you doing? Your God is weird to tell you to build this big thing here. Okay? And yet for over 100 years, they endured people making fun of them who thought it was a stupid idea, but they chose to obey what the Lord God said instead of being upset about what everybody thought about them. Christian, I want you to have some encouragement that God may tell you to do things that to everybody else sounds really dumb, but if God told you to do it, do it. Well, what's everybody going to think of me? It looks weird. Who cares what they think of you? God will play it out. You don't think I was hesitant for a minute when the Lord told me to quit my career and go into full-time ministry. I thought, oh, we're going to go into a great big church with a huge budget, so I'm okay paying my house note. And he goes, no, I want you to start a brand new church that has no budget, that has nobody in it. What? God, this is weird. Yeah, well, go do it. And here I am today, 10 years later, still doing it. Thank God. We're still getting by, but it's sometimes people will make fun of you. But Noah and his family, they had long been disciplined towards doing what God says. And that's something I really want to push us here to remember out of this, is that we should be people who does what God says. Most people today that call themselves a Christian, they are not doing what God told them to do. First off, they don't even know what's in the Bible. How can you know what God wants you to do if you're not reading it? You need to be reading it. You need to be obeying it and show people that when you say you're a Christian, you really mean it. Don't make yourself a hypocrite, right? Noah and his family, they followed God's orders on how to build the ark, when to build the ark, where to build the ark, and they even obeyed God's instructions that it was now finally time to go into it. We've been building this thing for 100 years. Remember, we read in the book, in the chapter, that it didn't rain back then. There was a mist that would come up from the ground and water the plants. They'd never seen rain before. Well, 100 years in all of human history, we've never seen rain. Today, go into the ark. Okay, let's go in. And everybody's like, what are you doing? Christian, when God tells you to do something, I want you to do these certain things in this order, in these steps, you do it. Well, people think I look weird. Yeah, and you're going to have their attention too. Believe me, Noah had everybody's attention when he built this big ship. Okay? The Lord God is going to make you look weird. It's okay. I know I look weird sometimes, but the Lord is going to make you look weird because that's going to get people's attention. They're going to watch you. Look at that idiot. But then when God brings things to pass, he's going to show his power, and they're going to wish they had been like you, obeying like you. So don't worry about what people think. So it's time to get in when there was still no water to be seen. Guys, I'm just trying to paint the picture. I want you to look at the faithful trust that Noah and his family had with God. They followed him. They did what God said. They didn't treat God like some religious Sunday thing that we'll go sit and listen to a nice sermon for an hour and then go back to our life as normal. God is real. They listened to him. They did what he said, and that's what we need to be doing. So I want us to remember all the other righteous people who had lived before Noah's day as well. There's a lot of people that were righteous from Noah's line. I'm going to back up to Genesis 4 and 25, all the way back to Adam. Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Okay, we had two different lines of people back then. Cain killed Abel. He went off and started a messed up race of messed up people. They're wicked to the core. They would kill people and brag about it and say, oh, look how tough I am. I killed somebody. Then you had a line of guys that called upon the name of the Lord and said, no, we're not going to live like that. We're going to live the way God said. Okay, Seth's line were descendants who called upon the name of the Lord, and that is the line from Seth that Noah and his family were from. They were taught by their family to obey the Lord, to love the Lord, and look where it got them. Friends, we need to be teaching our children how to follow the Lord. We got to show them through our own example, even if you look foolish sometime. Show them what it looks like to follow the Lord God. I love it when we're in here praising, and one of the little kids, like Rain or somebody, they see us lifting our hands up, and so they start doing that too. They start doing the same thing. They're learning from us. They're watching us. Teach your kids, okay? But all of these other righteous people from this whole line had passed away by the time the floodwaters came. You remember Methuselah. He lived to the insanely old age of 969 years. People really lived big time back then. And Methuselah, after 969 years, almost 1,000 years, he died right before the floodwaters showed up. Right before. I was talking about getting a biblical timeline, and somebody actually brought one the other day and laid it out across the floor. It's like really, really long. And everybody went, oh, where's the flood at? They wanted to see where on that timeline did the flood start, because that's where you're going to see right when Methuselah passed away. It's almost like God was saying, Methuselah, I'm going to give you time to live your days out before I bring this flood in. God did not drown anyone righteous, is what I'm trying to say. God did not drown righteous people, okay? He destroyed the people who said, God, we will have none of you. Forget you. We're going to live our own way. God says, I'm not putting up with that. I know this isn't the God of the rosy, beautiful American God that we have, that Jesus just wants to throw rose petals on us and bless us all day long, no matter what we do. No, God says, I'm not putting up with this. And he judged it. This is the God of the Bible. If you've never heard of the God of the Bible in here, welcome to it, okay? That's why we're studying. You are not here to hear my opinion. We're here to study the Word of God. But God did not destroy any righteous people with the flood. They lived out their natural days first. Genesis 7 and 2. He says, you shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Also, seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain. They're like, what is that? I'm going to cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. See, there's his track record still playing out of obedience. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters were on the earth. Okay, a lot of people have a hard time believing that God would destroy all living things, but it says right there in God's word, he says, I'm going to destroy it all. Oh, God would never do that. The floodwaters just came and God just let it happen. No, God says, I'm sending it. We need to understand that God has said in Isaiah, I am the Lord God, I create calamity and I create chaos, I also create peace. You just got to decide which side of the line you're going to be on when he does it. God does these things. Ray, you're getting kind of violent up there. No, I'm just preaching you the word. I want y'all to see this. This is the real God. This isn't the rosy, fluffy God that we made up to make ourselves feel better. This is the real Lord God. Ray, you're scaring me. Good. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But it says, so here's Noah. He's obedient. He's obedient here rather than trying to argue with God or trying to reject. God, now's not a good time to send a flood, God. I've got a great house. I just got my kitchen set up right. I mean, everything's great. The yard is all, you're going to mess all that up. I've got a good thing going. I've got these buds I hang out with over here. We do this thing all the time. God, you're going to mess it all up. He didn't argue. God says it's time and it's coming. Be ready. Friends, I'm going to give you a little precursor to what I'm going to say later. The judgment's coming. You need to get ready. This is a boat you don't want to miss. So, it says Noah did what God told him to do. Christian, if you want to survive the mess that's out there, you need to learn how to hear from the Lord and do what he tells you. Well, I don't ever hear from the Lord. Well, you better get in the Bible. He gave you a text message. Read it. Okay? So if you want to be blessed, in this case, for Noah's situation, if you want to live, make it a habit of doing whatever God tells you to do. Well, I don't know what God wants you to do. Read the book. Let's start. You can start today. And here's also, this is interesting, this is the first time we see a distinction has been made between clean and unclean animals. What is that? Okay, well, clean and unclean animals, that became part of the Levitical law in Leviticus chapter 11. But examples of clean animals are land animals that chew the cud, okay? You ever seen a cow chewing the cud? They're standing out there and their lips are going out there the whole time. They're not eating anything. They're not munching on grass. Their heads aren't low. They're just standing out there. They're chewing cud. It means they eat, and I'm sorry to make you sick. I'm glad Joanna, the germaphobe, is not here. But what they do is they bring some of it up and they chew it again. Okay? That's just cows for you. Who loves a good steak now? I make a mean brisket, you know. But you better be thankful for animals that chew the cud, right? So clean animals are land animals that chew the cud, and they have a divided hoof, such as cattle, deer, goats, and sheep. Seafood that has both fins and scales, certain birds, including chickens, doves, and ducks, and even some insects were considered clean animals. Now, examples of unclean animals are land animals that either do not chew the cud or do not have a split hoof, such as pigs, dogs, cats, horses. Y'all shouldn't be eating dogs and cats, okay? I'm just going to say that right now. My dog is sometimes a very unclean animal. Have to give him a bath often, but dogs, cats, horses, donkeys, and rats, seafood lacking either fins or scales, which would be shellfish, lobsters, oysters, I eat oysters, and catfish, some birds such as owls, hawks, and vultures, and other animals such as reptiles and amphibians are unclean animals. Okay, so my thought is, okay, great, we got this category over here and this category over there, but what's the point? What's the point of clean and unclean animals? What good does that do? A lot of nutritionists, when they look at this list of clean and unclean animals, they have seen that eating only clean animals as food provides a much healthier diet. You're going to be a lot better off if you eat the clean animals only. We have to consider that this law was given way back in ancient times. They did not have modern-day safety food techniques that we have today. We don't have the FDA and all that stuff. They had to get a diet of what's clean and unclean, and they'd had to determine what they should and should not eat. So that's how their diet would be, according to God's clean and unclean animals, and that would protect them against a lot of health problems. I want you to see Colossians 2 verse 16 says, "So let no one judge you in food and drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths." So that came to a point in there with that verse where Jesus declared all foods as being clean in Mark chapter 7. But during the time of Noah, back then, during that time, animals had to be categorized as clean and unclean. There were two different categories. Interestingly, also, the Levitical law had not yet been given by Moses back in Noah's day. So how did he understand these clean and unclean if the law hadn't been given yet? Typically, the Levitical law, that was in Moses' time much later. I think it's safe to assume that God simply told Noah how to categorize the animals as clean and unclean. These are unclean, these are clean. Noah goes, okay, I'll make a jot of that. He wrote it down. Later became Levitical law later. But ultimately, God's distinction between clean and unclean animals was more than about just eating. There's something bigger in this than just being healthy. God had regulations that he gave to Israel that were to keep the Israelites reminded that you are supposed to be set apart. You're not supposed to be like the Gentiles. You're not supposed to be like the foreigners. So not only would categorizing these animals from clean and unclean, not only would it keep the Israelites healthier because they would eat right, because again, we see an obedience track pattern here. They would eat and be healthier, but would also keep them set apart in front of foreign nations. The foreign nations would see, why are you not eating all these animals over here? Well, because my God said not to. Well, why did he say not to while the Gentile was probably sick and the Israelite was healthy? The Israelite was like, well, look at you, man. You don't feel good. Why don't you eat like this? You'll probably feel better. Okay, I'll try it. Then they would eat like an Israelite and say, man, I do feel better. Who is this God of yours again?
Thank you for listening to Set for Life. We hope you can join us next time, unless Jesus returns for us first. Set for Life is the radio ministry of Pastor Ray Jensen. We invite you to subscribe to our podcast at setforliferadio.com.
Hi, this is Ray Jensen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage you in God's Word. If the Bible doesn't excite you, then you're not reading it. I want you to remember that you are not worthless. You are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for